At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Bring it on, Thursday. Bring it on. That's right. Another Royal Series win. Jack Caglione is leading the Texas League in RBI. And LeBron James is gone. And Luka Doncic is gone.
Luka couldn't guard a chair. Traffic cone. Oh, man. Luka couldn't guard a chair. The words of one Charles Barkley last night. And he ain't wrong about that. Wow. LeBron James down in flames, as Dusty said. And the Royals finish April with that winning record. That's so important, guys, too.
I mean, survive April.
That's exactly right. And that's what they did. They survived. I mean, they went 2-8 on that 10-game road trip, you know, to New York or wherever the hell they went. And everybody's like, oh, the Royals are good. And here they are now above 500. And they, well, a little bit. It's actually my friend Jason, like, who texts all the time and complains about the Royals. Oh, this team is never going to be any good.
Like Rob Britton, dude.
No, Rob is more like, I don't know, Carrington, it's a pretty bad team. My friend Jason is more like an Eeyore. Oh, Eeyore, this team is never going to be any good. Oh, I expect them to go 162-0. They lost 3-1. I don't know if they're going to be any good. Hey, they're above 500 in the month of March or the month of April, and that's what matters, man. You finish each month above 500, you're going to make it into the playoffs. So congratulations to the Royals, man. They are 1 month into the season, and they're above 500. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, how is everyone feeling about that? Because I'm kind of like, I don't know if I get annoyed, but I hate the people that are like, yeah, that's cool. We beat the Colorado Rockies, Tampa, right?
Tampa Bay is five. They were 500 team.
They're a 500 team. Yeah. You beat the teams that are on your schedule, right?
Right. And this is where you take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Right? And that's the thing. Like, you don't go into this heart of your schedule against Tampa, Baltimore, and the Chicago White Sox and go, well, if we just come out of this at 5-5, we'll be okay. No, this is one where you make that hay, where you make up for those games, you know, that you lost in New York and wherever else. I mean, you got an opportunity to take care of business. That's how you make the playoffs. You don't make the postseason by winning games, you know, or, you know, winning games against the great teams. You make the postseason by taking care of business against the also-rans. And there's a lot of those dudes out there in Major League Baseball right now that aren't very good, or they're kind of mid-teams right now. You got to take advantage of that. And the Royals have taken advantage of that. The number one thing is to keep a losing team losing, and the Royals have done a great job of keeping these losing teams losing. And so that's why I say it's not about taking 2 out of 3 from Tampa. You've already done that. Go win the damn series today, man. Give yourself some breathing room as May.
You won the series.
Yeah, won the series. I mean, sweep the series. Yeah. Absolutely, man. Like, let's go. Get this thing going in the right direction. Now it's May, and you've established yourself as a winning ball club. Keep that up for the next month and 2 and 3 and 4, and we'll be sitting here talking about October baseball. It's going to be great.
Right. I think the three nuggets from last night, the three-piece, Bobby Witt Jr., 21-game hitting streak, 21.
21, yep.
21.
21, 21.
And he was really good last night, too. It wasn't a cheap hit. It was a couple of at-bats. He was really good last night. Like, right. I'm watching that guy last night, and I got to the point where I'm like, I got nothing else to say about this guy, because he's just, it's like the Patrick Mahomes type of category. Like, what else can we say superlative wise about Bobby Witt Jr. watching this guy play? Right.
Vinny Pasquantino hit a home run.
Hey, Vinny.
There we go.
There you go.
He's got 2 for his last 12.
He just had to call him out.
I guess so. speaking into existence. Keep doing it, though. I'm not mad about it.
Yes.
But the big story last night, Noah Cameron.
Infield all coming in, making the slow walk to the mound. So is Salvador Perez. Here comes Matt Quatrero, and that's going to be it for Noah Cameron. What a night for him. He's getting pats on the back from all of his teammates. He's had an incredible Major League debut. What a night. As Matt Quatrero takes the baseball, a lot of Royals fans are here. And a lot of Noah Cameron fans are here as he walks off to the dugout. The Royals bring on John Schreiber with the Royals leading 3-0.
So, one hell of a debut for the kid from St. Joe.
I mean, could you have scripted a debut better than a no-hitter into the sixth inning?
And it was great because at first, you know, he comes out to the mound, and maybe it's because he was wearing 65. I was like, okay, is this like a left-handed Jacob Junis? Like, what do we, you know, I heard, you know, left-handed. He's got a good changeup. He goes mid-90s, as Quatrero had said, and Vern played that back on his pregame show last night. Shout out, Vern. And the dude went out there and absolutely shoved. And what did we say yesterday? Hopefully for the first time in our existence, when the Royals throw out somebody new, the other team has no clue what to expect. And that's exactly what happened last night.
Yep.
Noah Cameron went out there. It looked like the Rays had little to zero homework on the guy and were swinging at every first pitch. What did he throw, like four pitches in the first inning?
Five pitch first inning. Unbelievable.
And then he had like a six pitch, like four. I mean, he had 52 pitches with an out in the fifth inning and no hits allowed.
Yeah.
Now, he did have Bobby Witt Jr. out there as the, you know, the vacuum cleaner that he was shortstop last night. But that's not his fault. That's what you have. You have a smart pitcher knows what he has behind him. And I thought Noah Cameron showed a lot of poise. I think he showed a lot of, like, kind of like not veteran-ish like mentality, but he knew what he had behind him. He had a good defense behind him, and he put the ball and let them hit the ball. Didn't try to dance around. I know it was his first start. I'm sure nerves are going erratic, but a hell of a start. Great outing last night. One hit, six and whatever, a third, and then the Royals bullpened it again. And in the last five games, the Royals pitching staff, no matter if it's been Lugo or Waka or Bubich or whoever, Noah Cameron, that's three shutouts in five games. And I know that we've talked about how this offense has just been putrid and cannot hit, cannot score runs, and can't do anything. This pitching is not only a story in Kansas City, it is a story in baseball, because what they're doing is insane. They're basically doing to other lineups what their lineup is doing against other pitching. They're just absolutely shutting down opposing hitters. Now, I get it, the Yankees, but the Yankees didn't beat you like they're beating Baltimore 15-4 or beating Milwaukee 21-7. The Yankees beat you like 4-1, 5-2, 4-3, whatever it was. And you've shut out Houston in two of those three games. You lost the Sunday game. You shut out Tampa Bay last night, and now you're on the verge of sweeping the Rays again. You're putting yourself in an advantage. You're one game above 500. Like you said, you hit May, and you put a guy in last night for a spot start to take over for Cole Reagans, and you couldn't have scripted any better.
You couldn't have. And now you get an opportunity to keep Cole Reagans maybe out another start if you need to be. You don't have to rush him back because you saw what you had out of Noah Cameron. Now it's up to Noah Cameron to go out there and make those adjustments that the league is going to make to him. You've always got to keep adjusting. That's how you stay at the big league level. So his second start's going to be very interesting to see, you know, if the league has caught up to him, if they've learned some tendencies, how he adjusts back to the league. This is where it gets kind of fun and geeky as a baseball fan to see the next kind of evolvement of these guys. But, you know, the hitting stuff, we've got to stop talking about how bad the Royals bats are right now, because they are normal. They are normal bats when it comes to Major League Baseball. I was looking at some of the base numbers last night about hitting in baseball. Do you realize that there are only 136 hitters in Major League Baseball out of close to 400 rostered just hitters, not pitchers? Only 136 are hitting 200 or better right now. 65% of rostered major league position players are hitting below 200. 65% of major league baseball position players as of right now through the first month of the season are hitting below 200.
Is that abnormal? I mean, that seems like an insanely high number.
Only 20 players in baseball are hitting 300 or better right now, right? So when we sit here and talk about the offense with the Royals, They're normal. So we've got to get past that and focus more on that pitching that is just absolutely dominating, because that's abnormal right now with what the Royals are doing. The pitchers are abnormal. The hitters are basically major league average hitters. This is major league baseball now. Nobody is hitting. Nobody is scoring outside maybe the Yankees or the Dodgers, a couple teams here or there. But when you look at major league baseball and you see 65% of hitters are hitting below 200, that's 35% are hitting above 200. That's bad. That's not good. That's not a productive offensive league right now. And so the Royals are right in the middle with that. They're doing exactly what everybody else is doing in baseball, having a tough time hitting, and the pitching is going to be able to take advantage of that. I don't know if that's going to continue as the season goes along, but through the first month of the season, the Royals are basically doing what everybody else is doing on offense, but doing so much better from a pitching standpoint. And that's part of the reason why they're an above 500 team right now, because their pitching has been outstanding. And I know we only focus on our team and we look at our team and do our thing. But if you look at the rest of baseball, we're a very normal baseball team right now compared to the rest of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, their hitting is got to turn around. It's a long season. I know it's been a month of just, you know, what maybe a lot of people don't like to see when it comes to like your offense. Royals play today at 12:10. Vern's pregame show or on deck show will be on at 11:00 today, with the Royals first pitch at 12:10, as it will be Seth Lugo against Shane Baz. Don't make fun of that guy. He's got a really good record. He's 3-0, got a 9.9 whip and a 2.46 ERA. We need some help with positivity. It's Thursday. We got to get these people out of the dumps, man. Somebody on the drive yesterday: call a spade a spade. Royals are a bad franchise all around. Worst record in baseball last 30 years. Stars don't lie. They're trash. That's to Carrington.
That's a text coming in? Wow.
But wait, there's more. From the same number. Gets up this morning. Thanks for joining the show. We're glad to have you. The Royals are the worst team in MLB the last 30 years. Call it what it is. They're a bad franchise all around and have been for going on four decades now. Stats don't lie. Two World Series appearances, one World Series tied in the last 10 years, playoff team last year, probably going to be a playoff team this year.
Yeah,
got to get your head out of the dumps, man.
Yeah, you got to pull your head out of 1994, pal. Seriously, and realize that it's not the same franchise. They don't have the same owner. They don't have the same general manager. They don't have the same players. They don't have a lot of the same people in the front. Like, it's a completely different franchise. And who the hell cares what happened in the past? We're not living in the past. I don't live in 1994 with rolled stonewashed jeans and a pack of smokes rolled up in my shirt, right? Mm. It's 2025, and I look at what the Royals are doing right now, and they're an above 500 team coming off a playoff year. I'm not looking back at what they've done for the last 40 years or the last 30 years, because I don't care, because quite frankly, it don't matter what they've done over the last 30 years. It matters what they're doing right now. And they're playing some really good baseball. They're having a lot of fun. And people are looking at this team going, damn, they can pitch with the best of them. And that hitting is going to come around. Salvi's starting to come back around. India's average is a little bit higher than it has been. Michael Garcia is starting to hit. Vinny got a home run last night. Like, live in the present tense, man. If you're stuck back in 1994, enjoy driving your GTO and paying 99 cents for a Big Mac, because that world ain't living in right now, man. Like, seriously, pull your head out of the past.
Comparison that the texter gives again is that they're the laughingstock of MLB. By comparison, they're the Browns or the Raiders. No, the Browns and the Raiders of the MLB are the Rockies and the White Sox.
Yeah.
That's your comparison.
That's your comparison to the Browns and the Raiders. I don't know why you're waking up that kind of attitude when the team won.
Apparently, 2:40 yesterday. It's the same text.
It sucks, man. But maybe you can do something nice for yourself or do something nice for somebody else and have yourself a good day. I want to give a shout out to my man Matt Moore over at Martin City. He gave my wife another $5,000 donation for the BMA Foundation yesterday. So Martin City Brewing Company stepping to the plate for the BMA Foundation. And if you're excited about Bobby Witt, my wife is auctioning off an autographed Bobby Witt jersey for the BMA Foundation.
Let's go. Oh, yeah.
So you can bid on that. She's got it on her socials. I'll put it up on my socials as well. And you can also make a donation at dance.bmafoundation.org. Make a donation for her on that page, and also bid on the Bobby Witt. I'll put it on my ex, formerly Twitter, account. And I'm sure, Mac, you can retweet it and whatnot as well, and Dusty as well, and put it on your socials, and we'll have it out there for you. But now's the time to get on that. You want an autographed Bobby Witt jersey? This is the time to bid.
Yes.
On the Bobby Witt jersey, and get that autographed jersey, because he's playing great. He's got a 21-game hitting streak, and this team right now, man, if you're not excited about this ball club, I feel bad for you. And quite frankly, there's nothing I can do, and I'm not going to waste my time with you, because you're bringing down everybody else.
Hits allowed, they're seventh. Runs allowed, they're fourth. ERA, they're fourth. Top five pitching staff. They are bad in batting. They still need to bring that up. They're 30th in runs scored, 23rd in hits, 26th in on-base percentage. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep going. keep going with this Royals team. They're 16-15. No negative to get on this parade. Go sweep.
And the good news is you can go make a move and bring a bat into this organization.
And the good news is there's other teams you can go root for if you don't like the Royals.
That's right. Go root for the Rockies.
Yeah, go do your thing, man. We'll dive more into that Royals game. We'll dive more into what Bobby Witt Jr. did yesterday because he did extend that hitting streak to 21. They are over 500, and they are the topic of conversation today for your Kansas City town that we do here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Poked through the right side, a base hit into right field. Bobby Witt Jr. singles in his first at bat of the night. He's got a 21-game hitting streak.
21. No stress last night, right out of the chute.
In the gray We're pants and the gray top with Kansas City across the chest in block letters.
Mm-hmm. With the royal blue stripe down the leg. Yeah, that was fun last night because you got to get that out of the way right out of the chute.
Right
out
the chute.
And then Vinny Pasquantino does exactly what he's supposed to do right after that.
First one to Vinny Pasquantino. Fastball clobbered. High in the air. Deep right center field. Caballeros to the track. He's out of Rome. It's a two-run blast. Vinny Pasquantino punts the first pitch and destroys it. A two-run homer to put the Royals on the board in the top of the first inning. It's 2-0.
Game over. Yet a guy in Noah Cameron dealing last night, shoving from the slab. Bobby Witt Jr. extends the game, 21-game hit streak. Vinny Pasquantino, two-run home run. Immediately afterwards, first pitch he sees, deep to right field. You heard Jake Eisenberg on the call that you heard here on 96.5 The Fan. And then it's 2-0, and the game's over.
The game is pretty much over right now when you've got the opportunity to pitch like the Royals are pitching. And that was really cool. At 2-0, you felt pretty good about this team and mm-hmm. everything that they've been doing. But the Bobby Witt thing, is still so amazing to me. I'm running out of things to say superlative-wise because he just continues to do great things, you know, every single night. And it's really getting to that level of Patrick Mahomes on a baseball side of things. There's nothing that this guy can't do, whether it's on deep offense, whether it's with the bat, hell, whether it's on the base pass. I mean, it just doesn't matter. Like, this guy has an opportunity to affect the game in so many different ways, and every single night he's out there affecting the game. He's making great defensive plays last night. He's having some big hits in that ball game last night. The dude steals bases with the best of them, maybe the fastest guy in all of Major League Baseball. Like, I just don't know what to say about Bobby Witt Jr. anymore. It's gotten to that Mahomesian level where you're just like, I don't know, man. This guy's just wild and awesome to watch. And sometimes you just have to sit back and enjoy, you know, kind of what you're viewing. And it's not just three or four times in a game that you get to enjoy Bobby Witt. You get to enjoy him on defense, too, because this guy makes plays to his left. He makes plays to his right. I mean, he is right now just so much fun to watch. And if you're not paying attention to everything that Bobby Witt's doing, you're missing out on a great show right now. And I know it's tough to catch every inning of a baseball game over the course of a season, but this guy is putting on a show, man. He is worth the price of it. Admission and probably the first baseball player that we've seen at the K worth the price of admission since George Brett. You know, you had Zach Greinke for a little bit there in the Cy Young season. This guy by himself is worth the price of admission every single night at the Royals game.
I had a tweet last night that I don't think I needed to defend it because I stand by it and I stand on it. I think Aaron Judge is cool and I think he's great. I think Ohtani is awesome and generational, but I truly believe that Bobby Witt Jr. is the best baseball player on this planet. I've heard Vern say it. I've heard Mark DeRosa say it. I've heard people
Mark
that know
DeRosa said all time.
Well, let's pump the brakes on that.
Right.
But like what he does as a whole baseball player is better than what Judge does. I get it. Judge is having a historic year. I'm not taking anything away from Aaron Judge, but doesn't play the defense, doesn't run, doesn't have the speed, doesn't have the five tool set that Bobby Witt Jr. does have. Shohei Ohtani. Yes, he's the best baseball player we've ever seen. But like, if I'm starting a franchise, and I am not being biased, if I am starting a franchise in football, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. No questions asked. I have that same energy. If I'm starting a franchise today in baseball and I could pick anybody of any roster, I would take Bobby Witt Jr.
See, I would still take Ohtani because he can pitch as well. And that adds to something. And he replaces two guys on your roster and he pitches and hits and plays defense and all that. So, like, I think Ohtani's kind of in that category that we've had Mahomes in for a while, other than Patrick Mahomes. You know, you take him out of the equation because you would pick him for anything. But pure just on the field doing great things, Bobby Witt Jr. is right up there and does have an opportunity to be the best player in the game. He hits 330, 340 again this year, steals you 50 bases, hits 20 home runs. I mean, my God, he's got an opportunity to be and to pass Shohei Ohtani as the best on the planet. The only thing that Ohtani does is he does something different than everybody else. He pitches at a high level and he hits at a high level. And once he gets back and he's, you know, back from that Tommy John surgery, we'll see where he goes. Now, if he takes a step back and he doesn't have the pitching side of things to go to his repertoire, then I think you can probably move Bobby Witt Jr. ahead of him. But we have to see how Shohei Ohtani, in my opinion anyway, comes back from that injury, because I think if he comes back and dominates and he's a Cy Young winner on the mound and an MVP with the bat, boy, that's hard to beat, right? It's hard to argue that one.
If you brought age into the discussion, would it change your answer at all?
I don't know. I mean, probably not. Yeah. I don't think, because I don't know how old Ohtani is. 30. Is he? And Bobby, what, 25?
24, 25.
So he's, what, 5 years younger than where Shohei Ohtani is. But, like, if Shohei Ohtani was kind of just a guy who pitched every once in a while and was just kind of more of a unique thing other than a really good thing, we'd have a conversation. I've just never seen somebody dominate on the mound and at the plate. And quite frankly, nobody's seen that since the Babe Ruthian days, right? So you got to go back all that time. But I mean, what he's doing right now has the potential to do from a pitching and hitting standpoint. I still think the jury's out at where he is until he's 100% healthy.
And the last time Shohei Ohtani pitched was 2023. So got to come back from that too. Still hasn't thrown a ball as a pitcher in a year and a half. They plan on having him back, I think they said, pitching in the second half of the season, because their pitching has dissipated quickly.
Oh my God, yes.
A lot of injuries in their, you know, major all-star pitching staff, Glasnow, Snell, all those guys.
I mean, when you go nine deep.
it's nice. But yeah, no, Ohtani, you know, great pitcher, you know, overall in his 5 years in the major leagues, 38-19.
And that was all with Anaheim for the most part, right? What, 1 year with the Dodgers where he pitched?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Yeah, he pitched. Did he pitch for the Dodgers?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he's pitched for the Dodgers. It doesn't show that he's pitched in the regular season for the Dodgers on Baseball Reference.
Okay.
2023, Los Angeles Angels at 28. 2022, Angels.
Yeah, last year was his first year with the Dodgers. Yeah, that's right.
Hasn't pitched there yet. So, again, I know it's there. You know, the most innings he's ever thrown, 166. That's standard. But 130, 132, had the Tommy John surgery. And then last year had the 50-50 year, which was insane. Mm-hmm. The MVP season as well. But, again, we'll see if he continues to be a pitcher. Again, Ohtani is the best player on the planet. I understand that. But, like, I still think Bobby Witt Jr. embodies the clone, the mold of what you want a baseball player to be.
No doubt, yeah.
He is the definition of a five-tool player. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Ohtani pitches and hits for power and RBIs and steals bases still. But, you know, again, that's what's fun about baseball is, like, there is that renaissance happening. I mean, hell, you're going to have a chance to go see Bobby Witt and De La Cruz on the same field at Kauffman. Yeah. And just watch these young kids play. So good for Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals as well, above 500 going into May. Like we said, survive April. You can't lose. You can't win, you know, the division in April, but you can lose it.
You can definitely lose it in April. There's no question. We've witnessed that.
And you've got your support of your fan base, minus one texter. But that's one.
How could you not be excited about the Royals today? You know, like, seriously, like, you should be feeling great about this team.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking care of business. You have a little bit of a soft patch in your schedule with teams that you're playing. I think you play, what, Orioles next? Is that right?
You got the Orioles, and then you got the White Sox.
And then
bottom feeders.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the road. Win on the road. What do they say? Two out of three at home, 500 on the road. You're doing that right now. You got to be excited about this team because, yeah, their pitching is bailing out their batting, but you have to think their batting is going to make a turn at some point. We're hoping that it happens. And, yeah, they did their job last night. They won another series. That's all you can ask for. And if you go out there and sweep the Rays today, you're 17-15, two games above 500, and you're narrowing the gap in the Central. I believe they are three games out of first place behind Detroit, a game and a half behind Cleveland, and then there's really no other competition below you.
No, there really isn't. The biggest story of baseball last night, you guys see this Pittsburgh thing last night? Oh,
the Hammer fan?
There's a report from a fan who was sitting by that guy and the way that he was behaving last night in the crowd and how drunk he allegedly was in the stand. If you haven't seen it, the guy fell 21 feet from the stands onto the field. Now, what did that sound like? Does anybody have the audio of that? Because I want to hear if you could hear that guy hit the ground. I was at Arrowhead back in 01 against the Steelers. I watched a man fall from the upper deck, hit the middle deck, and then land on people in the lower tier. And I'll never forget the guy being wheeled out and him giving a thumbs up and I'm okay. And the police saying, boy, if he wasn't drunk, he'd be dead. And I said, if he wasn't drunk, he wouldn't have fallen out of that stadium. And so this is where we are with this guy, 21 feet to the field. 21. I mean, it was one of the more insane videos that I've ever seen. And I wasn't sure that I wanted to watch it. But once I saw it, I'm like, I got to go watch this thing over and over again to see if this is real. And boy, it was. And this guy's in critical condition right now. But I mean, the word, I guess, to the wise is don't be so drunk at a game where you're falling out of the stands. My God.
Yeah, I think we read the same report, as you had just mentioned, torpedoed himself towards the ball, yes, leaping over and then falling from the Clemente wall.
He was five rows behind the edge of the wall and fell from that far back.
Looked like George, what was his name? Luganis, the diver?
Oh, Greg Luganis.
Greg Luganis. Yeah. Yeah, it looked like they fell and just was like numb falling down. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? How are you this far gone at a base? I asked that, but I know the answer to that. He's hanging out on the, you know, parking lot too long and then goes in the game. I'm pretty sure he was shirtless.
I think he was. I think he was. You said he had a long beard down to the middle of his chest or something like that, too.
He had that goatee.
He did.
That sometimes they braid.
Yeah, I hope he ends up being okay.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens and whatnot. But, I mean, how about the baseball players, too? Like, that's really, like, if you're out there on the field and that happens.
I'm hysterically laughing.
I mean, like,
maybe at first.
And the cops didn't care. They turned him over on his stomach and arrested him immediately.
Yeah, they did. They arrested that guy right away. But the interesting thing, like, they just moved him out of the field and continued the game.
I mean, what do you want him to do?
Nothing. Let's keep it up. Yeah.
No, nothing. I mean, that's what you do. It's like, all right, get the hell out of here and continue the game. But, I mean, watch that fall of this 21 feet. This guy launches himself from the fifth row and then goes off onto the field. And so, yeah, he obviously arrested. We'll see if he survives this thing, but I mean, my God, it's a Wednesday night, bro.
Yeah, it's a school night.
In Pittsburgh. Who are they playing? The Cubs. So it's a pretty big series and whatnot. It's the Cubs. You know, I'm sure they have good
Skeens
crowd
on the mound, though.
I mean, no reason to jump out of the stadium like that and for a foul ball or fly ball or whatever it was. I did think the camera positioning was really weird on that, though. Like, why was the guy behind home plate videotaping what was going on out there?
Yeah.
And then when the runner runs, he doesn't follow the runner. Like, it's just a weird, like, I'm Zapruder filming this up, and I do have some conspiracies with this, because just watch that video. Open that video up. What is that guy videotaping at that point in time? What is that guy shooting at that point in time? Because he's not really focused on the runners trying to score, or the guy going from first to second. He's clearly focused on that right field area the entire time that video is out. So I don't know if there's some conspiracy out there that they plan this or whatnot, but
no.
I mean, it was just weird video placement for me.
If I can go to back to my digital media production days at the University of Central Missouri, you have a technical director in your ear that's talking to other camera shots and saying, like, you know, maybe he's watching the crowd, or you have camera guys that are also like, hey, there's this really hammered fan out in right field. And then you have your director being like,
I thought this was somebody's personal camera that did that.
Oh, no.
I thought it was somebody's phone that video came from.
No, there's definitely somebody, like, as a camera guy, being like, hey, there's like this commotion going on over the right field wall. Like, you might want to check this out. There's like this hammered shirtless fan. And then it's like, all right, keep your camera on there. We'll just keep this in the shot. But yeah, who knows what's going on in the buses these days. But
I swear that was a fan that had his phone.
That's
up.
A phone.
Okay. That's a phone. Yeah, okay. That's not a professional. That's somebody's phone. That's why I've got the conspiracy thinking to myself right now. Like, what's that guy aiming at?
Never know.
What's that guy filming out there?
Yeah, you've got a guy running from first to second. He's clearly not following him. He's just kind of in the void of right field. That's
right.
All the video's on.
Right.
All these things are happening in the game, but he's just in that one spot.
He's in that one spot in right field. Now,
it's weird.
Maybe he saw something going on out there for a couple of innings and is like, oh my, something may happen. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird, weird, weird video placement. All that action going around, if you're the baseball fan, you're probably following the action, guys scoring. He does not move that camera off that right field wall.
It's kind of crazy to think that Bobby Witt Jr. could have taken a leap from last year's performance. Nick Keppel of the Royals Communication Department: only four players in Major League history have matched Bobby Witt Jr.'s combination of home runs, stolen bases through 500 career games. Obviously, last night you heard that Bobby Witt Jr.'s 21st hit of his streak came in his 500th game. That's right. Bobby Witt Jr.'s already played 500 Major League games. The only people that have had 84 home runs and 119 stolen bases through 500 career games, Bobby Bonds, Eric Davis, Alfonso Soriano, and Hanley Ramirez.
Oh, wow. That's a...
What's wrong with that list?
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not exactly a who's who.
Again, it's 500 games.
Yeah.
And Alfonso Soriano was
a
massive
player.
Talent.
Yep.
Hanley Ramirez was supposed to be the next one. Then he got traded and kind of fizzled out. Bobby Bonds is who he is. And then we all know who Eric Davis is.
Right. Good players, not like great players. Like, so the moral of that story is those guys got figured out after 500 games and never made the adjustment to the league. I don't think that's going to be the case for Bobby Witt Jr. I think he's going to be just fine, and he'll leave all those guys in the dust. The 1,000 bases, too, in 500 games, 2 bases a game, that's maybe the most insane thing that Bobby Witt Jr. has done. 1,000 bases in 500 games. That to me, is absolute insanity.
It's crazy. So we move that conversation to the NFL. Is there a Chiefs player you are ready to see take the next leap?
Yeah, because Bobby's done it. Obviously we saw Noah Cameron do it kind of last night and whatnot. So that the next leap, I think the easy answer for a lot of people is any of the wide receivers, right? You'd like to see, well, Xavier Worthy play an entire season now that he's got one under his belt, see what he can do. I think the expectations are going to be kind of out of whack for him. People are going to want 1,000 yards and 15 touchdowns. I think that's a little much, but you know, take that next step to know that you're that reliable receiver. Xavier Worthy, obviously I mentioned there, Rashee Rice, he's got the injury that he's coming back from and the suspension. We'll see maybe if he can potentially take, you know, that next step. But I mean, I think when you look around at this team, ultimately the guy to take that next step, and I mean, he may not even be on that. I'd love to see Sky Moore take that next step to give us that one more wide receiver we can truly count on. Well, who the hell do you have on your list?
George Karlaftis.
What the hell was that? I don't know what the next step for him would be. I mean, he's been pretty damn good.
I want 10 sacks.
That his rookie year last year, 2 years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 10 sacks is very hard to do in the NFL.
Close this year, right? 8.5. But you want it consistent.
I want it consistent. You want to be an edge rusher. You want to be somebody that's like a dominant force that was picked high in the draft. Go be a dominant edge rusher. I want to see him take that. And it's not a shot at Karlaftis.
I think it's hard for, like, double-digit sacks are like when I use the numbers of 300. You got 20 guys hitting over 300. Double-digit sack guys in the NFL, it's not a lot. We think that is, and that's just the way we are as people. We think, 10 sacks. But then you start to look at the list, you're like, damn. There's not a lot of people that have double-digit sacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I bet there's not as many guys as there are teams who had double-digit sacks. You know, I bet there's not 32 guys who had double-digit sacks in the league.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think I looked at the number 2 years ago, you know, when Karlaftis had 10. I think there was like 15 guys or something.
Yeah, I bet it's around 20. Yeah. He had 10.5 and then he had 8 last season.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty
good
start.
But I mean, I get you. I'd love to him to take that next step. He'd be a, you know, perennial every year. You know, he's going to be in that double-digit. He's a top 10-ish edge rusher. If he could get to that mark, that'd be great for this team.
He's quiet too, because he doesn't need the spotlight, because Mahomes and Kelsey and Jones and all the other guys like grab the spotlight. George Karlaftis is kind of, I don't want to say in that same category as Mike Dana, but just goes out there and makes plays, and it's not sexy, it's not flashy, it's just doing your job, you know.
17 players had 10 or more sacks last year.
Yep.
You were right. Half of the amount of players. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even 20 players with double digit sacks. So that's why I always go back. I go, all right, like, let's take a you know, a bigger look at all of this and see, are double digit sacks, is that realism, or is that like, holy shoot, you know, that's going to be an amazing year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was 27th in the league last year in sacks.
With 8. Yep.
With 8. Yeah. So, I mean, again, a leap. I'd like to see him get to that level of like, here's, you know, I'm not saying he has to be Trey Hendrickson, I'm not saying he has to be Max Crosby, but I'd like to see him fall somewhere in like the top 12.
Is Trey Hendrickson still in Cincinnati?
So far, Trey Hendrickson is still there. 17.5 sacks last year for him. Myles Garrett, 14. Those were your top 2 in sacks. But again, like,
jeez.
I would love to see, you know, George Karlaftis take that leap where it's like, instead of being like, oh, this defensive line is anchored by Chris Jones and company, I want to see it like, oh, this defensive line is anchored by Chris Jones and George Karlaftis.
How hard is that to change the perception of people, too?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you know, that's the toughest thing that we do in this industry. Like, how are you talking about a team that's only one game above 500 in baseball? I don't know how to change your perception if you're just always negative. Mm-hmm. I can't get you out of that hole. You know, it is what it is. But again, like, that's the leap. you know, I mean, I think Xavier Worthy's in a one. I mean, 600, what, like 96 yards or something, 686 yards, something like that last year. A leap for him is
850.
You know, yeah, 800 to 900 yards receiving. Maybe. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, that's a leap. Yeah. It's not a massive leap.
No, that's great.
Eight sacks to 10.5 to 11 sacks and own your position. Similar conversation.
Yeah, because that was his rookie year, too, that he had that 10.5. Right. Now you've got film on him. You go down a little bit. And we also know that first half of the season, it was crickets from George Karlaftis.
He needed O'Minihue.
He needs Jones. So let's see him kind of win those one-on-ones and make something for himself on that line. I like that.
I mean, every player is better with talent around them. Course, you know, it just is. I mean, Patrick Mahomes will be better if we get this left tackle situation figured out, right? It's just the way it is. Or, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. becomes better if guys behind him start hitting and whatnot. So, yep. You know, you're as good as you can be. And then if you have really good teammates, you could elevate your game, you know, to that next level. And so if he had to wait for Charles Omenihu to come back, that's fine, because there really wasn't anybody else on the other side of that line. And so it makes sense if you're the opposition. Well, let's take care of Karlaftis and Jones. We don't really have to worry about whoever else was playing over there.
Yep. I mean, it's same for McDuffie. He's going to have better corners and better safeties around, and we're going to see him return to first team all pro form. Jaden Hicks would be mine.
Okay.
Jaden Hicks, huge leap for him. Starting safety, no Justin Reed. We saw flashes of him and the athleticism. He can come in the box. He can blitz. He's going to be a weapon for Spags. I'm excited for him.
Texan likes Noah Gray to take a leap.
Yeah, and see, I think a lot of people like the tight end to take that next leap because I still see things that the Chiefs don't have a tight end planned after Travis Kelce. I'm like, no, they do have it. You just don't like it, but they do have one. You just don't know about it. You just don't understand it. You're not seeing it, like one of those things. Like, and that's the way we are with everything. We're always more freaked out about the unknown than about the known. And again, if these tight ends don't live up to Travis Kelce, oh well, nobody's living up to Travis Kelce. So I think we're starting to see more of a shift as this offense continues to move forward. They drafted another wide receiver. They've got two young wide receivers on their roster right now that are your one and twos, right? You're starting to see, okay, we're not going to have a replacement for Travis Kelce. It's stupid to try to find a replacement for him. Let's start finding other good offensive weapons and kind of just evolve the offense as we go.
So Jaden Hicks, Xavier Worthy, or Rashee Rice, and George Karlaftis. I'm not mad about that list.
It's a good list.
It's hard to say some guy because everybody plays so well.
I want to see Mahomes step up. You got to get back
Patrick
to
Patrick needs to play better.
Get back to 50 and 5,000, dude. Come on now.
Seriously, Patrick, you've let us down the last 6 years.
And Travis Kelce should step up as well.
Whoever plays left tackle, take a leap for me, please.
Whoever that is, yeah. And we'll know that leap right away.
Yep.
Jalen Moore, man.
Let's go. We will know that leap. Kelsey's washed, though, Dusty. I don't know if he can take that step.
Oh, man. 913-586-7965. Question for you. If you could golf with any celebrity, who would it be? Because it is May, and that is the Justin Timberlake.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be May. It's going to be May. Travis Kelce seen golfing with Justin Timberlake. Who are you going golfing with? If you could, with any celebrity, 913-586-7965. Listen to the crew that we call Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it, 6 o'clock hour. Good morning on a Thursday. We'll have Ben Maller in about 30 minutes. Join the show. His Lakers are gone.
They're out of the playoffs.
Yep.
LeBron James is going to be watching now. Is his future in jeopardy? Does he have to decide what he's going to do now in the future? I feel like that's the question every year with LeBron James now.
Now he goes and, you know, he goes on his political tour for Nikola Jokic or Giannis?
Yeah, that is true. Giannis. I still think it's better for the NBA to send Giannis to New York and not Brooklyn. I'm talking to the Knicks.
Well, I think you're right because the East is not as good as the West. The West does not need more star players.
Yeah,
you're right about that. The East does. They got Embiid.
The West is essentially the West is then the NBA is essentially the AFC.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. From like, if you look at the quarterbacks, all the good ones are in the AFC, and Joe Burrow overrated. We can get into that.
We'll get that later on.
I mean, we will definitely get it. I know Max, you know, itching to get to that topic because he knows I'm right about
that. He already screenshotted it and sent to Drew and said, "Good ready for tomorrow."
Well, get ready for tomorrow, Drew, because the truth hurts, bro. Like I hate to tell you that, but the truth does hurt. Oh, we were talking about LeBron.
Yes. Truth hurts for him today too.
Truth does hurt for him. Lost in the round one in the last 2 years, and I know that the Jordan Jordan comparisons are always going to be out there. Like, I do feel bad for LeBron. No matter what he does, somebody wants to compare it to Michael Jordan every single time. Like, when can you just be your own guy and not have to have those comparisons to Michael Jordan? But I don't know that there's a bigger sports argument where people are dug in on both sides more than LeBron versus Jordan. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're on the Jordan side, you're on the Jordan side. You're not changing. And if you're on the LeBron side, you're on the LeBron side and you're not changing.
Same goes with Mahomes. His whole career will be parallel to Brady's.
Yeah. What does Jordan or what does, you know, LeBron have to do? Beat Jordan in titles? Is that it? Same with Mahomes and Brady? Like, you got to beat them in titles before you get that credit?
Well, LeBron will never beat Jordan, even if you were to tie him miraculously, right? Like, even if they do go get a huge superstar and they win the next 2 years, and then he calls it quits at 42, which I don't know if that's the case.
He's 42 now, right?
No, he's 40.
He's 40 now. Yeah, I think he's 40. Swear I saw something that said 42, but I could be completely wrong on that one.
Living in the future. Just like Travis Kelce was always compared to Rob Gronkowski. Travis Kelce, obviously the video yesterday at Surface, he was wearing the 90s Tiger Woods polo that I so want to buy.
Yeah.
But I don't think I can now, because if I buy it, oh, you're wearing like it's Travis Kelce wore it. Yeah. But no, he was seen golfing and singing with Justin Timberlake. It looked like one hell of a time.
It did, man. I was jealous of that one.
Just like, boys being boys, man, on the golf course and not throwing punches at other people playing slow.
Right.
Just having fun, you know, doing a little karaoke, you know, doing that sort of thing. So we asked the question on the text line, 913-586-7965. You too as well, even though I know you guys don't golf it out, but you would if you had somebody that was cool to golf with.
Yeah.
Who would that person be?
I saw that yesterday. First of all, I've always loved Justin Timberlake. I know he's kind of a relic now for a lot of people, but I always thought he would have been great in the Monday Night Football booth long, long time ago when they were looking for people to get into Monday Night Football. How do we get people to Monday Night Football? Like, put Justin Timberlake in there. And then all of a sudden people thought I was nuts, but here we are 10 years later and we've got all kinds of weird stuff going on in sports, right?
This is really going to hurt the tour. Yeah. What tour?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Crap. So good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate. Do you know who I am? No clue, sir. I'm like, oh man. So part of me is like ripped out inside too. So I always loved Justin Timberlake, and I saw this yesterday. I'm like, that's Travis Kelce basically saying, I can go golf with anybody I want to. Like, that was a baller move, I thought, by Travis Kelce yesterday, and probably even a baller move by Justin Timberlake going, I get to golf with Travis Kelce right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just cool. I like that kind of stuff. But recently for me, I mean, I've kind of swayed. Roger Goodell's my new man crush,
oh
man.
My gosh.
Like, I just, like, his draft stuff was awesome. He makes $68 million a year, first of all. So I love the business of sports, and I love talking about the business of sports and learning about the business of sports. Who better to learn it from than Roger Goodell, who's grown the values of every franchise in the NFL, despite what Bill Belichick wants to say. Roger Goodell has grown the values of every franchise in the NFL. He's the most powerful guy in sports, one of the most powerful guys in the world. Absolutely would love to play golf with
him. What would be the first question you ask him?
Show me the script.
Oh, gosh.
I'd be like, hey, man, how many games is Rashee Rice getting suspended? Just before we tee
exactly.
off. Three.
He'd probably say, who?
What?
That hasn't crossed my desk yet.
I don't care about that.
Some text coming in from the text line. Barkley for sure from the 660.
Because you could beat him.
I don't know.
I couldn't.
Oh, absolutely. You could. You could beat Barkley at golf.
Yeah,
he's
Dusty
terrible.
Could, yeah.
I mean, he couldn't out-golf a chair.
Well, I mean, I don't know what his handicap is now, but I know he got with a bunch of swing coaches and he's played a lot better.
Did he? Yeah. So he's cheating now? Damn, Charles, stay true to who you are,
Damn,
man.
I ain't cheating. It's getting better.
Nah, but stay true to who you are.
So he doesn't have that hitch anymore?
I think he has a minor hitch, but he's definitely got it. The kinks picked out.
So yeah. Funny, dude.
Somebody says Adam Sandler from the 816. From the 816, I would love to see Rob Maloney take that next step, or Dusty to take that next step. I'm good. From the 913, I'm golfing with Dusty because drinks will be had, music will be loud, and pars will be maybes. But what a time it would be, for sure. I mean, it's not serious with me on the golf course. Unless we're in a scramble, we have a chance to win, and then Trent Green steals it from us. Who are you golfing with the Frisbees?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Charlie Day is one that came to mind. Bill Murray. I want to laugh. I want to have a good time. Andrew Santino. Just comics, honestly. Some of my favorite comedians.
You know,
you're not a Charlie Day guy. I forgot. Yeah, sorry.
You know who you're not golfing with?
Who?
John Elway.
Oh, yeah.
Too soon.
Okay,
man.
Yeah.
I hope he wasn't having a couple.
Tournament on Saturday, and the guy's on the back of the cart falls off. If you missed the story, John Elway was golfing with his good friend who was on the back of the cart, fell off the cart,
died,
got injured, went to the hospital, and ended up passing away.
Felt like he was right. I assume riding on the back of the cart where the clubs go, kind of, you know, jacking around, you know. And I mean, boy, this is only the beginning of that conversation out there.
Jay Binkley's texted and he said he would golf with Paige Spiranek.
I asked Jay Binkley yesterday in a text, private message. I said to Jay yesterday, if I could get you a day of talking draft with Brett Veach or a day with Paige Spiranek, which would you take?
And he said that he didn't take the lady. I know that.
No, yes, he did.
Oh, he did. Wow. Okay.
He did. He said the Paige Spiranek one put it over the top. If it was anybody else, he'd taken the conversation with Veach about the draft.
Yeah. There's juice all over the place. Ugh.
No, but if I'm being serious, if I could golf with anybody, it'd be there's a few. I would definitely golf with John Daly because he kind of fits that vibe of like, I'm going to show up with a pack of cigs, some booze, shoeless, and I'm just going to give you some pointers. And the pointers he's going to give you are not going to be overly stimulated with, you need to have your shoulder in, your elbow back.
Is he going to give you pointers, or is he only going to give them if you ask?
Both, I think. I mean, normally the forte on the golf course is like, don't give guys pointers unless they ask, and that's how it goes. Like, if somebody looks at me and like, what am I doing wrong? I'm like, your backswing's really fast. And that's all. I'm not going to be like, well, here, stand over here, and like, you don't just be like, ah, you're pulling your head. Ah, you're hitting the ground before you're hitting the ball. You're aimed over to the left. Like, enough. You're just going to make that person terrible. But in all reality,
in baseball,
if it's not John Daly, I would love to golf with the guys at Bob Does Sports. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this.
I have that
hat that says Have a Day. That's from their following. They're a good, fun group. They've golfed with celebrities before, like Paige Spiranek. They've golfed with Bryson DeChambeau. I think Mahomes or Josh Allen would also be amazing to golf with. Like, Allen and I think it was Josh Allen, his brother, Sam Darnold, all did a video with the Bob Does Sports guys.
Was that the bachelor party for somebody?
Yeah, it was Josh Allen's bachelor party.
Oh, yeah, where none of his teammates were there, right? And everybody was getting on that. It's all these other guys. None of his teammates showed up.
But Josh Allen, very fun personality. Just a bro on the golf course. Looks like he was having a good time. Told the guys from Bob Does Sports that he blacks out every time he scores a touchdown because they wanted to do the Hezzy step that Fat Perez does from their crew.
Yeah.
And he's like, and Bob Does Sports like literally called him out. He's like, you black out every time you score. He's like, you have no idea, dude. From high school to here, it's always like you cross that line. You're just like, I mean, imagine scoring a touchdown at Arrowhead. Like, could you imagine?
So awesome.
Everybody's losing their mind and it's loud. There's 70 plus thousand people there. And you're like, oh my God, like I did it.
And then you got the one guy goes, nah, that wasn't that impressive. I wish Patrick would have had a better arm angle.
Then go give him the football and say, have a day. But yeah, those would be mine as well. So 913-586-7965. And, you know, who would you do it? Who would you golf with? Somebody says Bert Kreischer, is somebody who they would golf with. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. That's a great pull. I love that. I don't know why you come up with Morgan Freeman just because of his voice, or he's a great actor, obviously, but like that is as random as they get. I love that one.
I wish I could tell you where that golf ball went, but it's not going to be found.
You're going to have to crawl through a...
This guy shot 89 and had to crawl himself through four football fields of blank just to get there.
You'd do it too.
2.9% chance. That is the number for one local sports team to win it all. Who it is? Well, we'll get to it on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.